to go to the Lord in a time of prayer together, and have several folks that we're especially praying for this week. I'd like to mention those to you. We have a praise, Kathy Johnson, Alan Kelly's friend who underwent cancer surgery, is now home and doing much better. So we thank the Lord for that answer to prayer. Also, Shannon Turner, who suffered two strokes, is now back at home and recovering well, I understand. So that's also a blessing and a praise. We continue to pray for Louise Wheelis. That's Benny White's sister. Louise is suffering with some complications from medications that she was taking. And Ann Martin, who's at home recovering after suffering a heart attack. She's recovering well at home, and so we thank the Lord for that. And we continue to pray for the family of Bonnie Watson, Patty Kersling's sister. Bonnie passed away recently. And the family of Clyde Maness, a friend of Eddie Ingram. Clyde passed away recently as well. Another praise that we have to thank the Lord for is that a district judge, Judge Osteen, has reinstated the 20-week ban on abortion. Abortions after 20 weeks in North Carolina. That was a law that was on the books but was never enforced because of the Supreme Court's standing or decisions. But the recent decision by the Supreme Court opened the door for the district court judge to reinstate that ban on abortions after 20 weeks. And that's a blessing. That's a step in the right direction. So we want to thank the Lord for that especially. Also remember Calvary Christian School starting this coming Monday. I know the students are excited to get back into their studies, and they are just chomping at the bit, and so am I. And so we're going to meet on August the 22nd and get underway in a new school year. The Lord is in it, and we want to pray his blessings upon it. But let's go to the Lord in a time of prayer. I'd like to ask Vic Allen if he'd open up our time of prayer, and then those who feel led may follow Vic in turn, and I'll close when it seems that everyone who would like to lead us is finished.
Judy tonight, and Ann, and let us care for one another and love one another. And there's nothing more that we can do than pray for one another. And I've heard Ben Carr said, you know, I need the prayers and you need the practice. So let it become a habit, Lord, that we pray for one another. Bless this meeting and the speaker tonight. Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the privilege of prayer, that we can come before your throne of grace and we can find the help that we need in this hour. We thank you, Lord, that you're a good God, you're a merciful God, and you're a mighty God. And there's no situation or problem that's outside of your understanding or your power to save. We do thank you for these praises that have been mentioned tonight, those who have come through surgeries and are doing better, those who have suffered heart attacks or strokes and are now recovering at home and doing much better. We thank you for that, Lord. What a mercy that is, and what a blessing. We thank you for answers to prayer. And we know, Lord, that you know what's best in every life. And exactly what we need is what you're blending into the circumstances of life so that it all works out to honor and glorify your holy name. We thank you, Father, that we can pray. And we can lift up our school and lift up these folks on our prayer list. And we can ask you to do what we cannot do, and that is to bring it together in such a way that it will be a blessing and a testimony and will accomplish your purpose. We know that, as Brother Vic prayed, we have our own will, and we try to handle our own things our own way, and we think we know so much, and we fall so short. We know, Father, that without your blessing, nothing worthwhile is being done. But with your mighty power and strength, you can take weak vessels such as ourselves. You can take that which is despised, that which is nothing in the eyes of this world, and turn it into a mighty power for good. We do thank you for this good news regarding the 20-week ban on abortions. We pray, Father, that that might just be the beginning of changes in this state in regard to the taking of those innocent lives. We just ask, Father, that you would forgive us as a people, forgive us for the blood that's been shed in this state in which we live and across this land. We pray, Father, that we would continue to pray for leaders and work as we can, as you give wisdom and energy to work for those who take a stand on this issue and to try to put into office people who will enact laws that will protect the unborn. We do thank you for your love for us, for the way that you move in such a powerful way in our lives each day. We give you the honor and the praise and the glory for all that has been done and will be done. We ask, Lord, that you'll speak to our hearts, work through your messenger tonight to bring us exactly what we each need to hear. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Two announcements to mention to you. The school board has a meeting following this service tonight, so please keep that in mind if you're a member of the school board, meeting following this service. And also tomorrow night at 7 p.m., there's a high school parent night for parents and high school students to come and meet the teachers and see the classrooms and get some information about supplies that they might need and all of that. And that's tomorrow night, Thursday, at 7 p.m. right here in the church auditorium. So we'll ask the men to come as we receive tonight's offering. Let's bow in prayer once more as Caleb Creech asks the Lord's blessing on this offering.
Lord, thank you for being able to be here tonight. Thank you for being able to just get away from the things of this world, to be able to be here and sit under the sound of your word, being among your people, is such a comfort and a refreshment. And I just thank you for the wisdom that you gave the leaders of this church to have this midweek meeting, that we can get that refreshment. I do pray, Lord, that you would bless this money as it's taken up, that it will be used to further your work, to your purposes, that you give wisdom to our leaders in the use of it, that you would make it grow, that it would go farther than it seems that it should, as it so often has in this place. And we thank you for that. And Lord, I just pray that you would work in our hearts tonight, and that we would have open hearts to hear the things that you have for us, things that we could not understand of ourselves, but that only your Spirit could reveal to us. And we do look to him for that understanding. We thank you that he is here, that he is a part of our life, that you sent that comforter. And I pray that we would not neglect him, but that we would acknowledge the power that you've given us, and that we would exercise what a life and surrender to you can produce through submitting to your Spirit and allowing him to work in us. Thank you so much for all that you do for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Just before the message, we're turning to number 106. Number 106. We'll stand again to sing 106.
Than have rich. Bibles tonight to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. We want to begin reading at verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of man, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this service and for the opportunity it gives us to study your word together for a few moments. And we know when we come on Wednesday night that people are tired, they've worked all day. And yet, there is a reviving spirit in us and a reviving spirit in your word that can cause us to hear the things that we should hear tonight. Things that are from yourself, not from a man, but from you. And that's our prayer as we gather this evening, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, we want to come back to our studies in the book of Galatians. Doesn't seem like it, but we started these studies back in January. And we began by noting that Paul is writing to not a singular church, but the churches, plural, of Galatia. Galatia was not a city like Ephesus or Philippi. It was a province, a Roman province in Western Asia that today we know as Turkey. So as a Roman province, like a state here in this country, there were a number of cities. And in some of those cities, there were churches. And we saw some of those churches in Acts chapter 14. We saw the cities where these churches of Galatia were, or at least some of them, Iconium and Lystra and Derbe and Antioch. All of these places were part of this province of Galatia. And then we parked in this first verse. And what caused us to park there, as Brother Dan would say, is Paul's words that he was an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And over the course of 15 messages, if I counted correctly, we use this verse to consider the patterns that God has established here in his word for doing his work in the world. The pattern for his work in the world is that it is to be done not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. We began that study by talking about the pattern for the local New Testament church, how it is to be independent and fundamental and non-sectarian. We talked about the pattern for church leadership, how elder and deacon are offices in the church, and pastor and preacher and teacher are gifts that God gives to men. We talked about the pattern for which Bible the local New Testament church is to use to preach and teach from, which Bible it is that follows God's pattern of not adding to or diminishing from his word. And the Bible that follows that pattern is the King James Bible. We talked about the pattern that our services are to follow. And what we saw here in the Word of God is that the primary purpose of our meetings is to preach the Word of God. And then we talked about the pattern for music. Music is to be part of our services, certainly, but not the main part. But it is to be part of our service, and it's an important part. We saw how God's pattern for music is psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, songs that teach, songs that admonish, songs that can be sung and heard with understanding, not the rock music of the world. But tonight we want to move along in this chapter. And our thoughts tonight are going to center primarily around verse 3, although we'll look at some other scriptures, some other verses here in Galatians. Notice, if you will, verse 3 again. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul extends to the churches of Galatia grace and peace. You know, it's very easy to read a verse like this and consider it to be a greeting and then just move on. But these words in verse 3 are more than just a greeting. They aren't just fillers to take up space. There's a message here at the outset of this letter that sets the purpose for this epistle. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you. Grace is a word, the depth of whose meaning only eternity will reveal. We can only scratch the surface of that one word. Just scratch the surface barely. Paul begins his letter to the churches of Galatia with this word, grace. And notice where grace comes from. It doesn't come from Paul. It does not come from any man. Grace comes from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace, one of the things that it is a one-word message of the gospel. Grace is a one-word message or a one-word summary of the gospel. Turn over a few pages to Ephesians chapter 2, if you will. And if you think you know where we're going, you're right. That's where we're going. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Grace is a one-word definition of salvation. Grace, salvation, is not of ourselves. Grace, salvation, is the gift of God. Grace, salvation, is not of works. And it is received by faith, which is also the gift of God. Keep your place here for just a minute and turn back to Mark chapter 9. May be dangerous sometimes to tell you how I think. But this passage in Mark chapter 9 is one that Mr. Creech talks about handles. Well, this passage is one that gives me handles to explain to me how grace is the gift of God and how God gives the gift of faith. The gift of faith, how he gives it. And I probably won't convey how I think, but the Lord can take these verses and teach them to us. Beginning in verse 14 here in Mark chapter 9, we have the account of the man who brought his son, who had a dumb spirit, to the disciples. And they couldn't heal him. And so he brings his son to Jesus. And the Lord asked him, not because he didn't know. He wanted this father to tell him. He wanted his this father to hear himself and to think about how long this child has been sick. He asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes, physician, heal thyself. My phone made a noise. I apologize for that. And he said, of a child. And oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. I want you to notice what this father says to the Lord Jesus. He says, if thou canst do anything, if thou canst. There's no faith in those words, is there? To look at God manifest in the flesh and say, if thou canst. And the Lord acknowledges this father's lack of faith in verse 23. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. I love the way the Spirit of God has written this. In verse 22, the Father says to the Lord, if thou canst. And in verse 23, the Lord Jesus says to the man, no, if thou canst believe. You know what the Lord is doing? He's showing this Father, and he's showing us that we have no faith. We have no faith. And this father gets the message. Because look at what he says to the Lord Jesus in verse 24. And straightway, that word straightway, and I believe Brother Jed pointed this out in a message some time ago, that it's a word that we find many, many times in Mark's gospel. Mark's gospel is the gospel of the servant. And that is how a servant is to act, straightway. The word means immediately. Something like 19 of the 42 times we find this word in the New Testament, we find it in the book of Mark. And so straightway, immediately, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. I believe that what this father was saying is, Lord, I have faith, but help me because I don't have any faith. And when we come to the Lord Jesus with that attitude of heart, I believe he helps our unbelief. I believe he gives us the gift of faith, the gift to believe. That's what he did for this father. He gave him the gift of faith. Look at verse 25. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. Faith is a gift. It is the gift of God that He gives when we come to Him with the attitude of heart that says, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And He gives us the gift of His grace. So grace and faith are gifts of God, and grace is what we're thinking about. The grace of God that bringeth salvation is the gift of God. It is not of works. That's why it is takes us into the meaning of this word grace. It's favor. That's what grace is. That's what the word grace means. Favor. Favor with God. But it's unmerited favor. It's undeserved favor. What we deserve is the judgment of God. But the judgment that we deserve was poured out on the Lord Jesus Christ. That is grace. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace. Freely bestowed on all who believe. On all who come to the Lord Jesus with this attitude of heart. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Freely bestowed on all who humble themselves and come to the end of themselves and cease from their own works and cease from their own labors and trust the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. I have no other argument, the hymn writer wrote. I have no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me. When we turn to the Lord Jesus from our sin, He gives us His grace, the unmerited favor of God that is given through faith in His blood. Faith in His blood. We read that in Romans 3 and verse 25. Now let's go back to Galatians chapter 1. Because it's no accident that Paul begins his letter to these believers in these churches of Galatia. This was the problem that they're having, the problem that we're going to read about and think about. Can't do all of that tonight, but is a problem that has spread to all of these churches. It's no accident that Paul begins his letter to these believers with this word grace. This word that defines salvation. This word that is the gift of God. This word that has nothing to do with works. Grace be to you. Why did Paul say that? Because there were teachers who had come in and we're mixing grace and works. Now we'll see this in more detail as we go through the book, but briefly, just to get a sense of the problem, look at verse 6 here of chapter 1. Paul says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another gospel. It's a gospel of works, which was a perversion of the gospel of the grace of Christ. Look at chapter 5, if you will. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, that's works. If ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he's a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. You have left grace, is what he's saying. You have turned to works. Look at chapter 4, back a page, and verse 9. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God. I love the way that is written. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God. What does the Lord know our relationship with Him to be tonight? Are we known of God? We know God. People all around know God. The devils know Him in fear. But are we known of God? Does He know us tonight? But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. That's works. That's works. This is the problem that these churches are having, these troublemakers who have come in. And they've started talking about circumcision. They've started talking about works. They're trying to mingle works and grace. Look at chapter 2 and verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Well, you notice that three times in this one verse, the Spirit of God tells these people, and He tells us, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Then look in the middle verse, and not by the works of the law. And then at the end, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And then three times in response to that, He tells them and He tells us how we are justified. But by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. This is the gospel of the grace of God. And Paul is bringing these people back into remembrance of that. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ, the gospel of the grace of Christ, unto another gospel, which is not another. Which is not another. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. Romans chapter 4 and verse 16. Aren't you glad that our salvation is sure? Aren't you glad that it is based on the faith of Jesus Christ? We're justified by the faith of Christ, not by the works of the law. This is the grace of Christ from which these Galatians were so soon removed by these troublemakers who had come in. This is why this greeting there in verse 3, it is so important to see. Grace be to you from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. That's more than just a greeting. I think that we're going to see as we continue on in this book that those words, those four words in the third verse of the first chapter, summarize the message of this entire book of Galatians. Grace. Grace. We're saved by grace. We're kept by grace. And we serve the Lord by His grace. Turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, if you will. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're saved by grace. We're kept by grace. We serve the Lord by His grace. Saved by His grace, kept by His grace, served by His grace. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 12. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world. By the grace of God, we've had our conversation. It's our testimony. It's our manner of life in the world. And more abundantly to youward. It's the grace of God by which we serve. It's the grace of God that leads us to know what to do with our money. It's the grace of God that leads us to give financially to meet the needs of the work of God and His people here in the world. Look back, or turn over rather, to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And look at verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit. That word wit means to know. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit, to know of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. And what was Paul's desire for these Corinthian Christians? Well, look at verse 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. And what was the example of this grace of giving that Paul gives to the Corinthians? Well, look at verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. It's the grace of God that brings us through trials and tribulations and difficulties, whatever they are in our life, no matter how serious they are. Turn it to a page, over a page to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. And notice what the Lord tells the Apostle Paul and what He tells us. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And in the light of God's grace, we can say with Paul, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. It's the grace of God that brings us through trials and problems and tribulations. It's the grace of God that allows us to teach and minister His Word. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. verse 7. Paul says, and it's true of you if you know the Lord Jesus. Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God. It's the grace of God that allows us to teach and to minister. Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. Grace is the gift of God before we're saved. It's not of works. It's the gift of God after we're saved. It's not of works. It's by His power. And then Paul says in verse 8, unto me who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given? Is this grace given? That I should preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Those are good verses to think on with school starting in just 5 days. Good verses to think about. It'll cause us to look at ourselves the way that the Lord would have us to see ourselves. Less than the least of all saints is this grace given. That always struck the Apostle Paul. Less than the least of all saints is this grace given. He said in 1 Timothy chapter 1 that he was struck by the thought that the Lord would count him faithful, putting him into the ministry. In Hebrews chapter 4, if you want to turn over there real quick, Hebrews chapter 4, this is an amazing verse, Hebrews chapter 4, because here in verse 16, notice what we are invited to do. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Do we do that? Do we do that? That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And then in Colossians 4:6, it's the last one we're going to look at. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6. We learn how to get along. We learn how to get along. Not only with our brothers and sisters in Christ, but with everyone that we have to deal with. Look at this verse. Let your speech be always with grace. With grace. Think of the problems that would prevent. Think of the problems that would prevent in our homes. If I would let my speech to my wife be always, not tonight because I've been in church, not Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon or Sunday night after I've spent the day in church, but on Monday and Tuesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, what a difference would it make in our homes if our speech was always with grace? Think about the difference it would make in this church. I love Brother Vic's prayers because he prays for this church family. And he prays that we'll love one another. Well, you know, one of the best ways to love one another is to let our speech be always with grace. With grace. Think of the difference it'll make in the school this year as we deal with our students, as we deal with our fellow staff members. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. We're saved by his grace. We serve, we're kept by his grace. We serve by his grace. And you know what I was thinking? That's what the choir sings about, isn't it? Only by his grace. I found grace to save my soul. At the cross, Christ made me whole. When my Savior took control and washed my sin away. Now the fellowship is sweet as I worship at his feet. Only by his grace I have found this holy place. Underneath his wings of love, trusting in my God above, grace for every need. Grace that overflows and far exceeds. And this is my favorite line of this song. Lavished on my soul at Calvary. Only by his grace. Every valley I've known, such compassion I've been shown. Giving strength that's not my own. It's only by his grace. Every burden that I bear, Jesus comes and meets me there. Every heart I hope to reach, and we're talking about service. Every truth I try to teach, every life I strive to serve is by grace. Grace I don't deserve. Only by his grace I have found this holy place. Underneath his wings of love, trusting in my God above. Grace for every need. Grace that overflows and far exceeds. Lavished on my soul at Calvary. Only by his grace, God's grace. Grace be unto you. Amazing words. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this amazing book. And we think about one word, grace. And we look forward to the ages of eternity, where we'll be able to sit at your feet and expound. You'll expound to us in all the scriptures the things concerning yourself, the things concerning your grace. And then we'll spend another 10 or 20,000 years talking about your mercy, and then about your peace. We just thank you for these little foretastes that we can have of the glory that we'll have in that day. We thank you for this time together, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Turn with me to 469. 469 will be our closing hymn, and we'll stand and sing together.
Thank you.
to the Lord in the closing prayers. Mr. Eddie Ingram leads us.
Father, again, once again tonight, we do thank you so much for a midweek service where we can come in and lay aside our daily business that we might be fed from your word. We thank you that we have been fed tonight. I just pray, Lord, that we would take the words that we've heard and remember them and apply them to our life, that we might be more like you, that we might be able to show your grace to this lost and dying world through word or by witness. We do thank you for your mercy and your grace that you shed upon us daily, Lord. The air that we breathe, the water, the food, all the many good provisions that you provide for us. I just pray that we would not take anything for granted. We would be thankful daily. We would look into your word daily, that we might be instructed to know how to live, how to be what you want us to be in this world. We know that we are living in the last days, Lord. We know that your return is soon. And we just pray that we would be standing for you when you do come. That we would be that salt. We would be that light here in the world. We just pray that you would help us. And it's only by your grace that we can do anything that has any worth or value for eternity. Just pray now that as we go, that you would be with us, keep us safe, and keep us in the center of your good and perfect will. We thank you for all these things in Jesus' name.